Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At
515-355-3200. Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman, who is still upset about the 49er loss. At each commercial break, though, we're going to ask a sports trivia question. And I know the Super Bowl is over.
I hope you don't have football questions.
Well, this is the last one, and it actually has to do with the 22-23 NFL playoffs wild card. I figured I'd just kind of throw an odd one in there. And then we'll go on to your favorite basketball, because that's the season that we're in. Okay.
Good.
So we'll do that next time.
I'm ready to talk Warriors the entire program if it can.
Yeah. we can do that, but we also should cover some other things. You know, a 30-second commercial on CBS for the Super Bowl cost $7 million, the same as last year. Someone sent me an interesting PDF of all these kind of fun little trivia things on the Super Bowl. I thought it was kind of interesting. If we have time, we'll read about that. Hey, Brett Favre said that Taylor Swift has been good for the NFL, because the interest in Super Bowl is up 169% from last year. I know. I'm sort of tired of that already, and I think a lot of people are.
Oh yeah, I was tired of it before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's got one good song that I like. The other ones, I'm not even sure of what she's got. No offense to her, but I'm not a Swift.
Do you think I'm going to listen to any of her music
now? No, you know what? There's only literally one song that I can't remember the name of it, but I like the Shake, Shake, Shake or something like that. I don't know, something like that. But I guess I'm a little too old for that kind of stuff. We'll talk a little bit about Mahomes also, questions about whether or not already he's considered the best ever. That'll be kind
Do
of
we have to?
Not necessarily. We don't have to, but we should kind of like talk about it and get it over with. All right.
All
right. Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. I'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investment's exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities, providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Attention business owners, how can you attract 22,000 new customers? How can you generate 10% in new sales? By accepting iText dollars for sales in the cashless marketplace, your business can access an exclusive cashless distribution channel, attract new customers, and generate new sales. Barbara Hill says,
iText has been one of the best things I've ever done for my business. It brings me business I would never reach with any other marketing.
It's simply the best cashless marketplace around. iText will change the way you look at money. Members in increase sales, conserve cash, and utilize a new distribution channel by using iText dollars to transact business. iText is the leading marketplace for cashless business transactions across North America. Our members processed more than $300 million in transactions last year. The fact is, iText dollars work. Isn't it time they started working for you? To register, visit itext.com, promo code 408-408, or call 408-504-8400. For more information.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to ElkCoveInn.com for reservations. That's ElkCoveInn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. Okay, Russell, tell us.
This is the broadcast I've been dreading to do. I mean, it's like being a drowned man. You come out of the water, out of almost drowning, and then someone offers you a nice big cup of salt water to drink.
I mean, not just regular water, salt water.
Salt water.
Just a sip
from the cup of bitterness that is the Super Bowl. And, you know, I come from Niner stock, where we won five Super Bowls in a row. You know, Joe Montana having four basically perfect Super Bowls where he never threw an interception. You know, the Niners achieving amazing greatness, being the only other team to win back-to-back Super Bowls in, you know, this modern era, other than the Steelers going back to the 70s.
But well, wait a minute. New England did it.
No, they didn't. New England won all of them as single ones. They didn't win back-to-back.
Yeah, they said it was 20 years since they did it. 2002? Yeah. But, I mean, you were talking about the Steelers doing it and Montana doing it for the Niners. I mean, this was like, you know, 20 years ago New England did it.
Did they win it in 2002, 2003?
Yeah, something like that, or 2003, 2004. So they did have one back-to-back on it.
Okay, but it's such a rare thing to have happen in the NFL. And now Mahomes in just a, you know, in what, his fifth year as a quarterback? Yeah. Has won back to backs, which, you know, came at the beginning of Brady's career, but he's never able to do it again. And, you know, obviously it's not going to happen for the Steelers anytime soon. Just to rub my face in the greatness of Mahomes, I'll admit it. And what really is terrible is that two out of his three championships are against the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But his third title, you know, came against Brady, right? His third.
Wait a minute. No, Tampa Bay, when Brady was Tampa Bay,
they won.
So when did he beat the Eagles?
The Eagles. Oh, yeah. Eagles okay. He has Jalen Hurts, you know, on his death list, too. you know, of quarterbacks that he's knocked down.
Well, and can you imagine if Purdy hadn't gotten hurt against the Eagles in the championship game the year before? It might have been Chiefs 49ers again.
The second time, yeah. And I don't know if America wanted to see that. I Purdy is not the person that I blame for the 49ers loss, for sure.
No, he performed fine. He didn't throw any picks.
He had them in a position to win. They had the lead in overtime.
And he had a couple of bad throws, you know, a little too much overthrow.
No, but when you sum it all up, he put his team in a position to win.
Yes, he did.
They had a lead in overtime. If the 49ers defense plays 75 yards and doesn't line, just could put four defensive stands together in a row to keep Kansas City from scoring a touchdown. You know, I mean, really, when you think about that, that was an ideal scenario for the 49ers. You know, you've got the defense that they paid so much money for to just have one defensive stand.
You know, I've been very critical of the 49ers secondary, but I got to say that, you know, they did a fairly good job for the most part because, you know, Mahomes couldn't get to his receivers. So they, especially, you know, in the beginning, the way they played was actually quite admirable, but it just seemed like this silly prevent defense type of attitude, you know, which almost always comes back to bite you. So what do you think?
My analysis is this: Shanahan built his team and the greatness of the 49ers.
Yeah. Typically. Which, by the way, they're favored to win it next year.
I know, which is good and bad. It's good and bad. You know, it's because a lot of times favorite team that early doesn't win it. I mean, I think the Eagles were the favorite team to win it before soon as the Super Bowl ended. So you know, you can see how that always doesn't always work out. But my thought is this, is that Shanahan built the 49er winning philosophy off of a lot of times getting the ball in the third quarter or early fourth quarter and having a sustained drive that would take 6, 7, 8 minutes off the clock. That would keep the defense off the field, get a score, make the other team have to work hard to get back down the field and score themselves.
Well, look how well they did in the beginning, except
they didn't. In the third quarter, they were terrible.
I'm talking about the beginning of the game. They just kept marching down and except
for they only had 10 points. And we all know that it doesn't take 10 points.
No.
It's the magic number.
I'm just saying the way that they started the game, it just seemed like, you know, they were starting to dominate from the beginning.
Was one of their best drives of the whole game was the very first drive until McCaffrey drops the ball and they, you know, get knocked out. You know,
I know a lot of people are you know, are thinking, oh, if Moody would have, you know, made that extra point, they would have won. But, you know, the reason that the Chiefs went for a field goal was because of that missed extra point. They probably would have scored.
Folded at the end there makes me worry that they would have probably given up a touchdown to Kansas City if Kansas City really needed to get a touchdown. You know, But my point was that the 49ers started out 3-3 and outs in the second half. And that meant the defense had to go back on the field, okay, and be worn out in ways that they weren't normally used to doing. And then after the third time that the 49ers had held Kansas City, that was when the punt hit the back of the foot of the 49er player.
Which, that's what McLeod, Ray, he just drives me. He reminds me of Garoppolo, where I get scared every time he touches the ball. Why didn't he just pounce on it?
Yeah, that's going to be a thing that will haunt 49er fans. But also, the player, I think Tucker, was not paying any attention to the ball and where it was. And, you know, he was simply blocking his man, didn't have any idea where the ball landed. And of course, it hit his foot, and he didn't even react to it, you know? So that was a big problem there. He was just not prepared and not paying attention. A good question also is, why wasn't Ray closer to where the ball landed initially And that would have meant his blocker would have been further away.
And you know what? That's the other part of it, is that he seemed to call for fair catches when there was nobody around him. And the times that he doesn't call for a fair catch is when guys are right next to him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to see the Niners make an upgrade in that position. That wouldn't bother me if that's one of the things they focused on. But you see, the Niners, when they went into overtime, had nothing left defensively.
Well, and that's why I look and I say, wait a minute, there's so many guys, you know, however many guys are allowed, you know, on the team, second stringers are going to be better than tired first stringers, in my opinion.
Maybe.
You know, right? You don't send a guy out there when you can just tell they're just gassed. That's still,
but
that's,
you also have to go with the guys that got you there. No.
If a guy got you there, but he's got a broken leg and two broken arms, do you still put him out there? No. Because he's not going to be effective.
But on the other hand, you put in a second string player and he gets beat, you get, you know, also roasted for saying, well,
yeah, but you know what, though? These guys are all professionals. Yes, there's ones that are better, but it's not like, you know, they're sending me in there, right? They're going to send a professional, someone who's good enough to have made the team.
Well, but a second stringer is always not your most talented player. That's why you and everyone, you know, and let's put it this way, Kansas City had their defense out there, and, you know, they were
able to
the 49ers getting a touchdown, you know.
No, that's true. Well, they had good guys at the front line to help bat balls down. We got to teach Purdy to get taller. Okay, well, ready? We're going to go to our first commercial break here. What Seattle Seahawks quarterback who took over the starting role after Russell Wilson was traded in the offseason led the team to a halftime lead against the 49ers in the wild card game? All right, the theme is, again, the 22-23 NFL playoffs wild card. All right, that's our trivia question. Stay with us. Sports Ecom 101 will be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman. We're just talking about things that we'll remember that just would drive us crazy. And I was remembering about the 1971 onside kick against the 49ers. And don't forget Merkel's boner back in, that's what they called it, back in 1906 when he didn't run from first to second because he got a base hit. And Joe, let's see, Tinkers to Evers to Chance. So it must have been Evers going ahead and tagging him out. Yeah, you have to look that one up.
I don't remember that one.
Like
my great 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 grandfather remembers.
No, but look it up. It's called Merkel's Boner. Okay. The trivia question we had.
You get mad when I say damn, but you're able to throw boner around.
Well, because that's technically what it's not a sexual term. It's like a bonehead move.
I know.
It's that's actually what they if you look it up on the internet, that's what it's actually called. Okay. What Seattle Seahawks quarterback took over the starting role after Russell Wilson was traded in the offseason to the Denver Broncos and led the team to a halftime lead against the 49ers in the wild card game?
Who was that quarterback? Former Jet bust and better quarterback than he makes pizza. That's Geno Smith.
Yeah, that is correct. Geno Smith. All right. So, again, they're talking about Mahomes being the best ever. What do you think? It's a little early. I know he's only played 5 years, but three Super Bowls and the way he's done it. The first comparison's against Brady, obviously. You know, then you kind of go
33 yards and 66 rushing against a team that is supposedly one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. He absolutely dismantled and embarrassed Lamar Jackson, the season MVP.
Yeah.
And he mowed down Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Yeah. And then
that's enough said. I hate to admit it. I was really hoping for Brock Purdy to have that truly miracle season. You know, you look at like Burrow, and you say to yourself, maybe he's just a one and done type guy. Marino never got back to the Super Bowl.
He still made it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but there are some times where your ticket only comes up once.
Yeah.
You know, even in a great career. I mean, how many more Super Bowls do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in?
Probably none. Look at Fran Tarkenton.
But he went four times.
But I don't know how many times he was the quarterback though.
Kelly, you know.
Yeah, Kelly, yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you get your chance, but it doesn't always come around. And I mean, as I said, like with Marino, he was a great quarterback, but he only went one time and never again. Yeah. And maybe that's the only time.
He didn't win the Super Bowl. He just got to the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying, that this might be Purdy's only opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and it slipped past his fingers. And I mean, it wasn't really his fault. I give him credit for getting a lead in overtime, and it was up to the defense. That last set, defensive set of the 49ers D against Kansas City is one of the most gut-wrenching things that I've experienced.
I don't like this prevent defense where you just keep giving guys yards.
They didn't even get on the field. As far as I'm concerned, the defense just walked off the field and let Kansas City walk into the end zone.
That is how it seems. Hey, let me jump over here. We're going to bounce around a little bit. So the Phoenix Open, this is golf, okay?
Oh.
They suspended alcohol sales due to rowdy fans And I'm wondering if this could be a trend because, you know, golf used to be this quiet gentleman's sport. And, you know, now that in fact, I remember bowling many years ago back in the 70s, you know, that used to be a very kind of for watching it on TV, it was very gentlemanly, so to speak. And then suddenly the fans started getting rowdy when they didn't like, there was a bowler named Marshall Holman. And right when he was on his approach, you know, they'd be yelling stuff. And he, you know, yeah, thanks guys, you know, really classy and all that, et cetera. And he was kind of a guy you'd love to hate, but you know, these interferences are quite annoying. I mean, some guy at the Phoenix Open.
We had the streaker in the Super Bowl.
Wait, say that again.
Speaking of interference and rowdy fans, we had that streaker.
Oh, the streaker! Yeah.
Super Bowl.
I know, and I'm thinking.
You pay $10,000
exactly. Yeah, and do you do it at a time? I mean, if it would be one thing if it was a blowout and you're in the fourth quarter, you know, if you're going to do something stupid. But I mean, this was an exciting game, and you know, it's like you suddenly don't get to watch it, and nobody saw it on TV anyway because they blacked that stuff out.
No, I've seen though on YouTube the people with cell cameras. You know, of it. So you get to see it there. But no, I mean, you know, we've really seen since COVID, you know, people came back out of hibernation from COVID. The behavior in public has been absolutely abhorrent. It's gotten worse and worse. It's got, you know, where, you know, I mean, whether it's an NBA game, and fans and NBA players are getting in it with each other, and they've had to, you know, kick fans out permanently from stadiums because.
Well, look at the Malice in the Palace. Well, that was, you know, back in the 90s.
Yeah, but there's more, you know, the jail that they have in Philadelphia. In the downstairs.
Stadium?
Yeah, in the stadium. They have an actual jail in there for fans. People have really lost the ability to behave civilly. And I think there's also kind of the cell phone culture of like, hey, if I act really outrageous in the stands, people pay attention to me and not the game itself. And
that's a good point.
I think there's this sort of thing that like, hey, you know, I'll make a great TikTok video if I, you know, get hauled off by the security guard or if I grab, you know,
that's a good point.
Brock Purdy's shoulder, I throw, you know, something at, you know, onto the field or something like that. As far as I'm concerned, I would not be upset if those people got lifetime bans from the stadium.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they tell you ahead of time. It's first of all, you don't even need to be told ahead of time. You know, it's funny. I think about like years and years and years, probably, you know, going back almost 100 years, you know, people would like dress up to go to the baseball game and they dress up, even go on an airplane.
Yeah.
In fact, someone told me.
Dress up to go to the movies.
To go to a movie because going out. There was, I don't know if it's still like this, but years ago in Japan, you know, baseball obviously was very popular. But apparently the stadium was fairly quiet. You didn't get a bunch of people, you know, yelling and screaming for their team or, you know, and I think maybe there was a small clap if Sadahara hit a home run.
It's the same way with pro wrestling in Japan, which is also very popular.
But you're not talking sumo wrestling. You're talking about
pro wrestling is huge in Japan. Wrestling. And has been
interesting
for decades. It's been, I mean, yeah, they've had, you know, Antonio Inoki, and there's New Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Noah, which I was associated with. They have a number of feds in Japan, but the Japanese, when they watch, there's not the kind of constant yelling and screaming like you have with the American audiences. They sit there very quietly and just watch what happens. And then when there's a big spot, when, you know, a big move happens, then they applaud. But there's not this kind of like chanting and people yelling at the wrestlers they hate and say, you know, you bum and rip his head off and you know, you know, I hate you, go back to your, you know, go back to whatever country you came from kind of thing. The Japanese are just very focused on watching.
Well, they teach their kids young, you know, to be very respectful. You know, it's funny to say, just thinking about this too, that back in the, you know, the late 1800s, actually 1800s, or maybe even early 1900s, you'd in Major League Baseball here in the United States, you'd get people attacking the umpires and players attacking the umpires. I mean, it was rowdy back then. Now that I think about it.
Well, and beer was like 2 cents, so you know, now it's. I don't know how you can afford to get drunk at a ball game unless you already came drunk ahead of time.
What is it like $20 for a beer? Small beer.
Yes, it is. Like $25.
Yeah, and and obviously they don't even let you bring in water, I don't think.
No. So it's really, they have you definitely as a captive audience once you get in there. But of course, there's people in the parking lot drinking, you know, a six pack, you know, before they walk through the door. So you know, you have some of that too, and behavior is terrible, and it's embarrassing, and I'm embarrassed for, you know, my kids never act like that. So thank God, when my, you know, kids go somewhere to an event, they don't embarrass me like that. But if you act like that as a parent, you can be sure that your kids are going to act like that too.
Well, do they act so good? Well, because you beat them twice a day, whether they need it or not.
Whether they need it or not. I've never raised my hand in anger to my kids, and I never would.
Well, you're not supposed to do it in anger anyway. When you had discipline, don't do it in anger. Okay. Hey, we're going to go to our second trivia question and talk about the 2022-23 NFL wild card. In the wild card game between the New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings, what quarterback became the first in NFL history to throw for at least 300 yards and 2 touchdowns and rush for at least 75 yards in a game? That's our trivia question. Stay with us. Sports Econ 101 will be right back. Don't push that dial.
Are you ready for an unforgettable family adventure? Alcatraz Island is calling your name. Discover the history, mystery, and allure of the infamous Alcatraz Island with your loved ones. And the best part? You can enjoy it with a fantastic discount of almost 10% off. Introducing the Alcatraz Family Pack, 2 adult tickets and 2 child tickets for the young explorers aged 5 to 11. It's a package designed to make your family experience even more memorable as you stroll through the historic prison, walking the same corridors as some of the world's most notorious criminals, and enjoying breathtaking views of the San Francisco skyline. Don't miss this unique opportunity to create lasting memories with your family while exploring one of America's most iconic landmarks. But the Family Pack is available for day tours only, so plan your visit accordingly. Book today at AlcatrazCityCruises.com and embark on a once-in-a-lifetime adventure to Alcatraz, where history comes alive and memories are made. Terms and conditions apply. Family pack available for day tours only. Visit AlcatrazCityCruises.com for details.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to MountainMikesSanRafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to MountainMikesSanRafael.com and order your pizza.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in 4 distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit PalioSF.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
In today's real estate climate, where scoring fantastic deals is a challenge, we've got a solution just for you. If you're eager to receive exclusive off-market real estate deals in your inbox every single month, head over to MortgageInvesting.com and enroll in Scottsdale Mortgage Investments' exclusive trade desk. This trade desk offers privileged access to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs, each and every month. Visit MortgageInvesting.com today to sign up and seize exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman.
I've taken the bitter medicine, so I don't feel so bad anymore. Good. You know, at least we got the Niners stuff out of the way.
Yes. Okay, now back to football, though. Here's our trivia question. In the wild card game between the New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings in the 22-23 season, what quarterback became the first in NFL history to throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns and rush for at least 75 yards in a game?
Well, you know, that's interesting because Mahomes had 66 yards, so he came just a little bit short of that number. But I think you're talking about Kirk Cousins.
No, Daniel Jones.
Really? Daniel Jones had that many? I was thinking, God, maybe he could run for that much, but I did not remember him throwing for over 300. Of course, this year he wished that's almost like his season totals. You know, his season totals got 300 yards and 75 yards rushing. So,
okay, bringing up your favorite topic of Taylor Swift. So Brett Favre said that Taylor Swift has become good for the NFL. Interest in the Super Bowl is up 169% over last year's game, and Swift reportedly has created a brand value of $332 million for the Chiefs and the league.
I really hope he endorses Biden at the football. When they go to see the president, I really hope that Taylor Swift does show up and endorse Biden.
Is she allowed to go? Isn't this just for the players?
I don't know. But that's what the right wing's incredible nightmare is that she shows up, you know, unannounced at the congratulations thing, and then she says, "Go Biden," and that means that the Republican nightmare is complete. So, you know,
I can't believe honestly that you're going to be voting for him. I could see you voting for RFK, but I just can't see you voting for
that RFK commercial that he had to apologize for with his family. That was even more.
Wait, I didn't hear that. What's that?
The RFK commercial.
Oh, the commercial. Yeah. For bringing back Kennedy.
And that was so bad, he had to apologize to his family for it. First of all, I thought it was terrible. Second of all, I didn't realize it was for Robert Kennedy until, like, after the commercial was over and I, like, thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. That isn't for, you know, John F. Kennedy. That's for...
Now, was it... I know his family was upset. Yes. Did he get a lot of flack from the fans or, you know, from
yes. Everyone said it was a terrible commercial. So that
and it cost $7 million too.
and the foot washing commercial where the two.
Yeah, that was really
nobody really understood. Well, that's $14 million that didn't quite reach the audience it intended. So
they should have given that to you and you could have made, I'm sure, a lot better.
Sure,
commercial.
I would have. I would have made something more entertaining and more informative and kept, I would have spent $1 million on it and kept the other, you know, 13 for myself. So,
exactly. You know what? That reminds me of the joke where this guy, he wants a fence built. And so he hires he gets bids from three different contractors. And he asks the first contractor, he says, "How much to build my fence?" He says, "Well, $3,000. He says, "Well, can you break that up?" He goes, "Yeah, $1,000 for labor, $1,000 for parts, you know, materials, and $1,000 for me for profit." He goes, "Okay." And he asks the second guy, he says, "Well, $6,000. How do you break that up? $2,000 labor, $2,000 parts, $2,000 for me for profit." He asks the last guy, he says, $9,000. $9,000? How do you break that up? He goes, $3,000 for you, $3,000 for me, $3,000 will get the first guy to do it. Okay. So Super Bowl Sunday is the second largest food consumption day, only behind what other
holiday? Thanksgiving?
Yes. Very good.
Which is also football day.
Well, that's true. Okay, now you'll relate to this. Antacid sales increased 20% on Monday.
Oh, yeah. No, I probably ate like about six or seven of them as a result of the game. I couldn't eat. I was too nervous watching what happened in the game. So I'm absolutely – and you think about it, Bay Area Rolaid sales, antacid sales, probably went through the roof. I mean, the Green Bay game was antacid needing. The Detroit game after they were down 17, you know, was antacid creating. And then, of course, going to overtime.
What about Atlanta Falcons losing in the Super Bowl to the New England Patriots? That come back.
Shanahan doesn't want to talk about that. That's like, he was the offensive coordinator for Atlanta.
The defense that gave up everything. But
it's true, and it's another symbol of what happened again against Kansas City on Sunday. It was pretty, unfortunate.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, and one in 10 people will miss work the day after the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it's because they're so upset or because they got wasted.
I think that Monday should be a national holiday. Like President's Day should be the day after the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. And 90% more beer and 67% more pizza are consumed on Super Bowl Sunday than an average day. That totally makes sense to me. So let's move on to your Warriors because
thank God.
The team. Yes,
I thought we'd never get there.
All right. Hey, how'd you like that three-pointer from Curry a few nights ago?
0.7 seconds left. Yeah. That's what Curry is really all about, but it goes under. What also goes kind of unrecognized is the fact that the Warriors run 7 out of 8, and except for an overtime loss to Atlanta, they'd be 8 for 8. And they've crawled from being 6 games out of the final playoff spot to maybe into the number 8 spot if they can continue winning here. And I mean, they've got, it was one thing when they were beating, a team like Detroit or beating a team like Washington, but they've beaten the Suns now, were contenders, and Utah last night they beat by over 20. And so they've sort of woken up, and I think, by not trading someone at the deadline and keeping everyone on the team, I think that sort of kind of rallied the team around and has woken them up, and they understand that, who they have is who they're going to need to get to a final, to make the, playoffs and possibly, challenge for another title. There's not going to be somebody charging in on a white horse from outside.
Yeah.
And so, Wiggins has woken up and started playing a lot better. Kerr is being more comfortable with playing the younger guys. So we're seeing Podemski in there. We're seeing Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah. And Kaminga has come around since last year.
Trace Jackson Davis is, he's a rookie, but he's from Indiana, and a good friend of mine's son goes to Indiana and was a friend of Trace Jackson Davis before he came to the Warriors. So now he's a big fan of Trace Jackson Davis now that he's getting a bigger role on the Warriors. Sure. And hopefully I might get a chance to meet Trace JD after one of the games if I'm lucky enough to get a ticket to go sometime by the end of this year.
So when we used to go to the games, I haven't been to a Warrior game in quite a number of years, but this when Monte Ellis was still with them. They had I take that back because Curry had started it to he had just started with them, and the tickets were really good in the corner up just a few seats, and they were about only like $250, $300 a piece when I got them from some guy on Craigslist or something. And then you look now, and these tickets are like $900 a piece for a regular game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and again, that's without parking and food.
When they won the title in 22, you know, and a lot of people, you know, remember for eons, you know, once the Warriors started winning titles, the Warriors sold out all the way. I mean, they were selling out even in their bad years. The Warriors had a hard ticket list to get. So once they started winning, it became, you know, near impossible to get tickets.
Well, and then now, you know, being in San Francisco is a lot easier to get to than
you know, I thought about that for a second. Just go back to football for a quick second. And that is, if you were a 49er fan and you weren't the kind of person that had season tickets, you might have paid like $2,000 to go see them lose to Baltimore on Christmas. And then probably, you know, 49er fans paid $3,000 or $4,000 for a ticket to go see them play Green Bay, and maybe $3,000 or $4,000 or more to go see them play Detroit. And then we know that Super Bowl tickets were about $10,000. So I think that maybe since Christmas, heavy 49er fans might have sunk in $25,000 to watch the 49ers lose the Super Bowl.
You know, maybe I'm just getting old, but I can't see it. I mean, I like it so much better in my nice warm house where I can pause, you know, the TV and then, you know, re-look at, you know, because of recording it, look at plays again, replays, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when you're at the game, I mean, I get the excitement on that, but in fact, a friend of mine he was actually at the Super Bowl, so I'm gonna have to ask him when he gets back today how he enjoyed it. Just, you know, I mean, being in Vegas is kind of a fun little space, you know, to have it in, which apparently a lot of the casinos were not very happy, I understand, because you're getting the regular old Joes to go, and they don't make, I mean, they make money on that with the slots and stuff like that, but they really want to see the big gamblers. And it's possible the big link gamblers were just kind of pushed out or something. I don't know the whole story, but it just, the casinos.
Think about the logic. You're going to spend $10,000 on a ticket, right? To go to Vegas to go to a ticket. Well, that $10,000 is not money you're going to be spending on gambling.
True.
So, you know, the people that come to Vegas to watch the sporting events don't have the same kind of free cash that people would have if they were coming to Vegas just for, you know, gambling.
That's a very good point. And even though there's a lot of betting going on, they don't make that much on the sports bets.
Oh, no, not like slot machines. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. You know, yeah. And so people don't have, I mean, unfortunately, there's so much gouging that goes on during the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's like, you know, all these other places raise their prices. So they drain the tourists out of gambling money. So they just show up in Vegas, you know, they see the game and then they go home, and they're not throwing the money down like they do when they come there just to gamble. So,
okay. Hey, no, good point. Hey, we're going to go to our last trivia question here. You ready? We're talking about the NFL 22-23 wild card games. Okay. Right. What unique situation happened after the first four touchdowns the Dallas Cowboys scored? I don't know if this has ever happened
before. Which game?
Well, it was a wild card game. So I don't remember who they were playing in 22-23. Oh. But what unique situation happened after the first four touchdowns the Dallas Cowboys scored? All right. Stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-514-0521. 800-514-0521. That's 800-514-0521.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackson. Third trivia question. What unique situation happened after the first four touchdowns the Dallas Cowboys scored in the 22-23 wildcard game?
I really don't know.
I mean, it's kind of a it's just one of those things you have to just kind of remember. The kicker missed the extra point. Four touchdowns, four missed extra points.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's very unique.
It sounds like a job for Moses Moody.
Not Moses Moody. Mr. Moody.
Yes.
Mr. Moody. Yeah. No, Moses Moody, good basketball player for the Warriors.
Yes.
All right. Any last words before we get to our thoughts for the day?
Well, you slammed Biden earlier. I do want to slam Trump in not knowing where Kansas City is for the second time in a row. In 2020, he congratulated Kansas City, Kansas. And yesterday, he tweeted out, congratulations to Kansas City, Kansas, to the great state of Kansas for winning
Kansas City, Missouri. Well, it's not as bad as forgetting the fact that you were when you were vice president, but that's okay. All right. Are you ready? Here's our thoughts for the day. So I needed a password, 8 characters long. So I picked Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay. I get that.
Okay, good. And I bought a pair of shoes from my drug dealer the other day. I don't know what he laced them with, but I was tripping all day. I don't do drugs,
clever.
So that's pretty clever. That's pretty clever. You like that? All right. Well, on those two clever notes,
he's got Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro. That's right. That would be good. Okay, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
So long.